Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. This morning we commenced a series of messages on the life and times of Moses. And I do pray that these messages will be a blessing to all of our hearts. This morning we considered Moses as a type of Christ. And in the course of these studies, I believe we're going to see that more clearly as we study the life of Moses. There's no doubt that this man's life points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Tonight I want to preach on the subject, the birth of Moses, a picture of God's mercy in Christ to sinners. I pray if you're not saved this evening that the Lord will speak to your heart, and that even through this message tonight that you will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But let us read some verses at the beginning of Exodus chapter 2. We read these verses this morning, but let us read them again this evening. We'll commence our reading at verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Amen. We'll end our reading again in verse 10. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this passage of scripture this evening and consider this subject. Father in heaven, we do thank thee again tonight for the privilege which is ours of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. We pray, Lord, tonight that you would come again and fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. Pray that you bless your word to every heart, both saint and sinner alike. O God, those of us who are saved, even Lord, as we would listen again to the message of the gospel, Lord, that you would thrill our hearts. We thank thee, Lord, that the message of the gospel is old yet ever new. And O Lord, we pray for those that are unsaved in the meeting, those perhaps who are backslidden. Thou dost know the heart. Man looks in the outward appearance, but O God, thou art the one that searches the heart. Pray tonight, Lord, that you would search hearts, and that each one here would be saved by thy grace. That each one here would know that they're saved by thy grace. That each one here tonight would have the assurance that they're on their way to heaven. For Lord, there's no greater blessing than to know that our sins are forgiven and that we're heaven bound. And oh God, I pray this evening that each man and woman and boy and girl would have that assurance within their heart and within their soul. O God, to this end I pray that you would lead us and guide us as we would seek to preach thy word tonight. Help us, Lord, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ again, our Savior and our Redeemer. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. This second chapter of the book of Exodus, of course, tells us about the birth of Moses. Moses was born in the plan of God to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. God's people had been in bondage in Egypt for some 400 years. But now the time had come for God to fulfill his word and deliver his people from that Egyptian bondage. In the course of these studies, we're going to see how God raised up Moses and used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt to the brink of the promised land. Indeed, in these studies, we're going to see how God made Moses great and how Moses, though weak at times, proved God throughout his life. And my prayer is that these studies will be a blessing to all of our hearts. But tonight, in the Gospel, I want very simply to draw your attention to this subject that I have announced, the birth of Moses, a picture of God's mercy in Christ to sinners. And if you're not saved tonight, I want you to listen very carefully, because this message is for you. It's a very simple message, but I pray that God will take it and speak to your heart and to your soul, because as we emphasize from this pulpit every week, your greatest need is to be saved. Your greatest need is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And I pray this evening that God, the Holy Spirit, will take his word and apply it very personally and very powerfully to your heart. There are three things I want you to learn about Moses when he was born. First of all, Moses was a condemned child when he was born. When Moses was born, he was born under a decree of condemnation. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had decreed that all the sons which were born into the families of the children of Israel were to be put to death. Now, we notice this even in our study this morning. But this decree, let me emphasize it again, was first given to the midwives, but then it was given to all Egyptian citizens. Let me just draw your attention again to Exodus 1 verse 22. Look at what Pharaoh decreed concerning all the male children of the children of Israel that would be born in Egypt. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river." The Egyptians were to kill all the newly born sons of the Israelites. None was to be spared or kept alive. Therefore, the moment, and this is the point that I want you to learn tonight if you're not saved, the moment Moses was born, he was a condemned child. What a picture we have here of everyone that is born into this world. Because of sin, every person that is born is under condemnation. In Psalm 51 verse 5, the psalmist said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Men and women, we are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Therefore, we are all born as condemned sinners. We are all born facing death and judgment and hell. In Romans 5 verse 18, we read these words. Therefore by the offense of one, speaking of Adam's sin, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. I want you to keep your hand in Exodus chapter 2 for a moment. And I want you to turn over in the Bible to John chapter 3. And I want you to look very carefully at what verses 18 and 19 says. Here in this text of Scripture, it clearly teaches that all men are born under condemnation. It says in verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now, if a man is condemned, not only is he guilty, but the sentence for his guilt has already been passed. Therefore, every person born into this world, because they are born in sin, are guilty of punishment. And that punishment, the Bible tells us, is hell forever. And the sentence for their guilt has already been issued. In other words, sinful man does not have to wait until the judgment day to find out what the punishment for his sin is going to be. God reveals that information to sinners now through his holy word. And that's what we have there in John chapter 3 and also in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. You see, the Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The Bible says, "The wages of sin is death." The Word of God tells us, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I wonder, is there someone here in this meeting tonight, and you're not saved? You're not born again of the Spirit of God? Well, let me tell you this on the authority of God's Word. Because you've been born in sin, you've been born condemned. You're a condemned sinner. And the truth is that if you die in the state in which you've been born, you'll be in a lost eternity. Forever and forever and forever. You see, the death sentence is hanging over you tonight. I'm sure that you've heard of death row in America. That's where the condemned prisoners are put when the sentence of execution has been placed upon them. And of course, the truth is this, that there are many on death row tonight. The sentence has been passed. They know they're going to die. They're awaiting the sentence just to be carried out. And that's like you tonight if you're not saved in this gospel service. You're on death row. The sentence of God's judgment has already been placed upon you because of your sin. The only thing that's stopping you from going out into hell is a heartbeat. Is a heartbeat. Because the very moment your heart stops beating, the very moment death comes for you, it will be absent from the body to be present in hell forever and ever. I wonder, have you ever considered yourself as a condemned sinner? You know, some people believe that when they die and stand before God, that God will add up all their good deeds against all their bad deeds, and if their good deeds outnumber their bad deeds, then they'll get into heaven. And they're hoping in that. They're trusting in that. And even many religious people tonight are depending upon their good works, believing that when they die and stand before God, that if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, then they're going to get into heaven. But my friend, that's not the case. Because of the nature that you've been born with, because of the sin that dwells in your heart and your soul and your life, because of that sin nature, you are condemned already. And that's why it is so important for you to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're going to see just in a moment. Moses was a condemned child. But notice something else about this child. Notice, secondly, that Moses was a delivered child. The truth is that when you read Exodus chapter 2, a plan was devised whereby Moses would be saved or delivered from this decree of condemnation that he was under. Moses, after he was born, the Bible tells us here, was hid 3 months by his mother. Then after that, she took Moses and placed him into an ark of bulrushes. making sure that the ark was sealed. And then she placed this sealed ark of bulrushes into the river. Look what it says there in verse 3. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And then, after this, in the providence of God, the daughter of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, came down to the river to wash herself, and she saw the ark of bulrushes, and she discovered Moses therein. Then the Bible tells us here that Pharaoh's daughter had mercy upon the child and spared the child's life. Thus, Moses was delivered or saved from death. And of course, when you read on down this chapter, you see that very clearly. Look what we read there in verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Look at verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. What we have here is Moses being delivered. Moses being saved from the king's decree of condemnation. And the initial plan to hide Moses and place him in the ark of bulrushes and put the ark in the river involved love, and it involved sacrifice, and it involved faith on the part of the parents of Moses. What a picture we have here of the wonderful plan of God's salvation for sinners. If sinners are going to be set free from the condemnation that they are under because of their sin, they need to be hid in Christ. They need to be covered and placed in the ark of God's redemption. They need to be sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my dear friend, listen to me tonight, especially if you're in this meeting without Christ, without God, and without hope. God has devised a plan whereby condemned sinners can be delivered from hell and judgment to come. And this plan of God involves love and sacrifice and faith. It involved God sending his only begotten Son, whom he loved and whom he was willing to sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, to come into this world and die on the middle tree on Golgotha's brow for your sins and for my sins. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And over there in Galatians chapter 4, and verses 4 and 5, we read these tremendous words. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." That was the plan of God. In order to redeem lost souls, in order to save those that were under the condemnation of God because of sin. And if sinners by faith accept Christ as Savior, then the condemnation that they are under will be removed. Indeed, in Romans 8 verse 1, we read these tremendous words. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, we read these tremendous words. If you're not saved, then I want you to listen to them very carefully, because it says this: "For by one man's offense, death reigned by one. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one," speaking of Christ, "the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's plan of redemption is secure because it is sealed by the blood of Christ. Once you have been delivered by the power of God in Christ, then you will never come into condemnation, because the Son of God has paid the debt for your sin and my sin upon the cross of Calvary. Well, my friend, if you're found in this meeting tonight without Christ, without hope and without God, a sinner condemned, only one heartbeat away from hell, I have good news for you. And the good news is this, that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ came willingly. And He died upon the cross for your sins in order to pay the price of your redemption. And thank God, because of that price that He paid upon the cross, you can go free. The sentence that has been passed upon you because of sin will be lifted. That's the wonderful message of the gospel. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, we read these words. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is God's promise to all those who are hid in Christ and saved by the grace of God. Oh, I wonder this evening, as you sit in this gospel meeting, have you ever received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, my friend, it's important that you see yourself as God sees you. Because as God looks down upon you tonight, if you're still in your sin, He sees you as the sinner, condemned already. He sees you as one who's heading towards a lost eternity, to hell itself. But thank God. And this is the wonderful message of the gospel. This is the plan of redemption. God has sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to come, who was willing to die, who rose again. And thank God, because of that sacrifice that He has made upon Golgotha's brow, you can be delivered. You can be saved. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to deliver us from the power of Satan and from the power of sin. He came to deliver us from hell and from judgment to come. Are you a delivered child tonight? Or are you still a condemned child? Are you one who has been set free by the power of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, saved for all eternity? Or are you still under the condemnation and the judgment and the wrath of God? The Bible says, because there is wrath, beware, lest He take thee away with a stroke. And how sad it would be for you, coming to meetings like this, listening to the sound of the gospel week in and week out, how sad it would be for you to go away from a meeting like this and die in your sin and go out into a lost eternity after God sending His only Son to die upon the cross for your sins. Oh, my friend, don't reject the gospel anymore. Don't turn away from God's saving grace anymore. But come. Be saved. Come and be delivered. Come tonight and trust God. the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. Now, something else I want you to notice about this child Moses. Turn back to Exodus chapter 2. Not only was Moses a condemned child, not only was he a delivered child, but I want you to notice that he was an exalted child. Did you notice that? After Moses was delivered from the condemnation of Pharaoh's decree of death, Pharaoh's daughter brought Moses into the palace, and Moses became her adopted son. Look at verse 10. It says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. So, not only was Moses delivered from the condemnation that he was under, but he was brought into Pharaoh's palace. He was exalted. What a picture. Again, we have here of the great blessings that God gives to all those who are saved by his grace. The moment the sinner is saved, they are adopted into the family of God. They are exalted and brought into the family of heaven. You know, there's no greater blessing than to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God. There's no greater blessing to be brought into the family of heaven. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, we read these tremendous words. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, speaking of God's people who have been saved, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we read these words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And in Galatians 4 verse 7, we read these words, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Oh, what blessings. What blessings are received the moment the sinner comes to Christ and accepts the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior. My friend, I am an heir to heaven tonight. That's why I say dogmatically that I'll never be lost. That's why I say dogmatically that I'll never be in hell. That's why I say dogmatically that I'm saved forever. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ delivers the soul from condemnation, he saves them and delivers them for all eternity. I'm going to heaven. Heaven is my home. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples before he left this earth. In John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Isn't it wonderful tonight, child of God, that you and I, who are saved, thank God, we have a mansion in heaven. Someday we're going to see the King in all his glory. Listen, we are an exalted people. But maybe there's someone here tonight, and I believe there is, and you're still in your sin. Listen, I want you tonight at the close of this meeting to consider what the Lord will give you if you come and trust Christ as your Savior. He will give you a home in heaven. He will bring you into his family. You will become a member of the household of faith. Your sins will be forgiven, and you'll never be in hell, and you will have a mansion in the glory. Oh, we often sing that hymn, I'm going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. And that is true. You see, this is the assurance that every child of God has because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no more servants, but we're sons. We're no more on our way to hell, but we're on our way to heaven. No more are we under the condemnation and the wrath of God. Praise God, that has been removed from us. And when I stand before God, I will not be judged for sin, because my sin has been judged in Christ. But I will stand before Him as one who has been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, I wonder tonight, my friend, are you redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Have you this hope within you? If you have not, then come tonight and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there someone here this evening, and the Lord has been speaking to your heart in recent weeks, recent months, and you've been putting off the day of your salvation? You've been resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life. Oh, my friend, resist no longer. Turn away from Christ no longer. Recognize this evening that you're a condemned child. Recognize this evening that you need to be a delivered child. Recognize this evening that the only way that you can be delivered is by coming and trusting Christ as Savior. That's the only way of redemption. And then if you do, you will be an exalted child, because you will be a child of God, saved and redeemed for all eternity. Have you this hope within you? My friend, you need this hope within you. If you haven't got this hope within you tonight, come to Christ and trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. The birth of Moses is a picture of God's mercy in Christ to the sinner. I pray that God will bless His word. Let's all pray.